Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Kids, are you excited about Christmas? That sounded like some adults. I'm telling you, the anticipation about Christmas, wow, the wait before is intense, is it not? I mean, the wait before Christmas is what I'm talking about today. When we were kids, we used to make these little pieces of paper, and we cut them about yay big, and we'd circle them around, and we would then glue them, and then we put another one right there, and we'd interlink them all the way down. And every day, starting in December, we'd take one off, and boy, that chain would just get shorter and shorter and shorter, and I'm like, it's getting close. I don't know if anybody else did that when they were kids. That was just maybe my story. Now, my wife has on our counter this little thing that you open doors every day. It's way more like home interior type stuff, you know. It's probably not home interior. I don't know. It's one of them fancier things. The paper's what we had. And so, whatever it is, do you count it down? I remember when my kids were young, we had this little piece of a board, and you would slide this thing over. It's another day. And we're getting closer. And the anticipation, does anybody are you just bubbling? How many of y'all want to see some of the presents? I mean, you want to, but I want to wait. Boy, I want to know what's in there. And how many of y'all know what's in there? Yeah, y'all are no fun. It's the thing of trying to keep everybody else from knowing. Well, turn to Titus chapter 2. Go to Hebrews and go left a couple of books. Titus chapter 2, real small, so sometimes it's hard to find. Chapter 2 of Titus, verse 11. Says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. You know, I never really understood if there was a spiritual reference or scriptural mandate or something associated with the wait, the excitement that you just can't wait for the day of Christmas, or for some of you that get to celebrate early. It's like you get early parties and you get to go to one of those, and the celebration of Christmas is really exciting. Well, as I was reading, I came across this several years ago, and I like verse 13. We look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. I think it's really important to understand this. There's a word there in verse 13. We look forward with hope, and it's one word in the Greek, and it means I wait in order to welcome. To wait in order to welcome. The weeks before Christmas in North America, it's business as usual as people fight the traffic and the crowds, frantically scurrying from mall to department store to this little boutique over here. I didn't even know that word 10 years ago. But this little thing, yeah, one thing after another, and you just keep going, rushing, rushing, rushing. Christmas holiday has a lot of rushing, a lot of stress, and come on, some of y'all, some overspending. I'm not going to get any amens, but you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the more things change, the more they actually stay the same. Now you go, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, in the first century, citizens of the first century, they didn't have to cope with malls. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that the cities, the towns, the villages, the streets, the homes, the businesses of Israel were packed for another reason. For those of you that may never thought about that, but the comparison is quite amazing, taxation and census was done. And it was ordered by the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Everyone had to make the long journey back to their hometown, stay with their relatives while giving up a major portion of their time and their resources. Now, Here's what some people get frustrated about associated with Christmas. Very similar. Oh, the rush, the stress, we've got to give up money, we've got to do this, we've got to go and visit relatives, we've got to go back to our hometown. Are you seeing the similarities? It's even though it might be a little different now, it's very similar. So even though things change, a lot of times they stay the same. And the busyness of life, coping and having to deal with things, here's what I'm concerned about, and I want to make sure we get today. As we're waiting for Christmas to get here, don't let the stress, the busyness, the travel, everything that has to come about to make this all happen, make you leave Christ out of it. So we can't leave Christ out of Christmas. John MacArthur, in his book, God With Us, wrote about some of the first century people who missed Christmas or missed Christ. The innkeeper in the story missed it because he was preoccupied with making money. I mean, he's full. He missed Christ. King Herod missed Jesus because he was fearful that another king could take his throne. The religious leaders missed it because they were self-righteous and proud. The inhabitants of Jerusalem missed it because they were religious. I mean, they missed Christmas, worshiping God in ritual while he was born right under their noses. I mean, so many people miss, the entire Roman Empire missed it because they had their own gods and their own idols. Jesus' hometown of Nazareth missed it because they were too familiar with him. Now, I want you to understand that as I'm talking about the more things change, the more they stay the same, a lot of people in the hustle and bustle of Christmas or the holidays are missing Jesus. And I don't want here at Christian Ministries Church me to let a Sunday go by any December and cause people to miss Christ. I want to make sure we're teaching here, don't miss him. Don't miss him. There are three building blocks to any relationship. Three building blocks to any relationship. You got to know this. Very important you get all three. All three of these building blocks are imperative. Sorry, little interruption. They're imperative for you to build a relationship. Here's what they are. The first one is time. Time spent. Well, how do you miss the things of God? You don't spend time with the things of God. So you're missing the relationship of Jesus because you're not spending time with Jesus. That's the first one. The second one is time. The key to any successful relationship is spending time with them. And people aren't spending time with Jesus. The third one is time. Time, time, time. The Bible several times just repeats things over and over again. I thought I'd try it. Time, time, time. You got to spend time with them. You got to spend time with them. Now, people who really know God in a very intimate, special way, they have spent a lot of time building that relationship away from other things and spending time with him. Here's what I want you to be careful about. Don't spend so much time getting ready for Christmas that you miss Christ because you didn't spend any time with him. The wait, while we're waiting for it to get here, you know he's still here. The world's always too busy. That's not a seasonal problem either. The world's always too busy. Titus said to live this way in verse 12 of chapter 2. He said, we're instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures, and here's how we should live in this evil world. Boy, that term evil world makes more and more sense the older I get. And the more that you see what's going on. But here's how we're to live in this evil world. It's very important to get this. With wisdom, with righteousness, and with devotion to God. Let's just talk about these for a second. Wisdom. Church, are we living wise? That's a good question. I want to make sure that I'm living wise. Let me just ask some questions associated with this season of Christmas while you're waiting. Is it wise to buy stuff this Christmas and spend all year trying to pay for it? I I already saw husbands looking at their wives. That's not what I was trying to do. Is it wise ever to spend more than you have? See, and a lot of times we get so caught up in emotions, and sometimes the emotions are happy, good, fuzzy. You know, I mean, they're, oh, I need to get this, and then you spend all year paying for it. And the thing is, if we would have been wise on the front end, see, how do we live in this evil world? We're wise. We're not just wise financially, we're wise with what we say. We're wise with where we go. We're wise about what we're doing. There's got to be some wisdom that we apply if we're going to live in this evil world. The thing to get a hold of is it biblical wisdom? Well, how do I know, Pastor? How do I know? Just one little simple tool that I teach all the time and I preach and I talk to people about. Well, I just don't know if that's wise or not. Well, let me tell you that you're probably not the first one who's ever done it in your situation, whatever the done it is. Here's the question. Find someone who did and find out how it worked for them. Was there fruit in that decision? Is that a fruitful decision when we were building a house, when we were trying to figure out how to get through things? I always tried to find someone who had already been through it and seen that they had fruit. If they'd went through it and they were on a bottom, they were heading downhill and their life wasn't working for them, I'm not listening to anything they say. Kind of like parents. Parents giving advice. I'm all about hearing advice. But I don't want to hear all about what's wrong. I want to hear about what's right. I want to hear what works. But just hearing it's not good enough for me. I want to see it. And if I can see this is working, at that point I start seeing it, I start realizing there's fruit there. All right, now that translates to me, there's some wisdom I need to get a hold of in that area. There's some wisdom. And whatever it is, if we're going to operate with wisdom, we got to find some fruit. Come on. We got to find some fruit. Is this working for you? Is this working for you? The second thing that verse 12 talks about is righteousness. Well, what's righteousness? It just means being right with God. Being right with God, living right with God. So many are celebrating Christmas. They're celebrating Christ, but they're not living right with Christ. If you're going to live in this evil world, if you're going to escape the weight and get excited with the anticipation and not let it overwhelm you, then you better make sure that you're in right standing with God. Well, how do I do that? Well, if you're not saved, you need to know Jesus as personal Savior. Amen. That's the first thing that gets you in right standing. Understand that. Very, very important. Isn't that all? That's the problem that the church has left us just with salvation. You've got to start talking about how daily I'm submitted to the Lord. A daily submission to the Lord. I want to walk in right standing. I just don't want to accept my right standing for salvation. I want to walk in it every day. I want to walk in righteousness. Well, how do I do that? I walk according to what he asked. I read the word. I find out what it says. I say, okay, I'm going to live by that. That was good. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. I need to live by that. I need to have some wisdom. I need to be in right standing. And the third one, it says devotion to God. Devotion to God. Every minute, come on, church, every minute, every day, showing through your life who you're devoted to. This term has got kind of overused, but I still like it. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? I know it's used a lot and you've probably heard that before. But my question is, when people look at your life, do they go, oh, now there's a Christian. Now there's a Christian. I'm Wednesday night, if you miss Wednesday, you missed a service now. Wednesday night was awesome. And I'm not trying to put any guilt trips. We've got it on CD in the back so you can catch up. But Wednesday night, I'm just telling you, Brenda Lockwood came and shared a testimony. And it was powerful. It was powerful. And then Josh got up and preached a message based on the testimony. He was getting real nervous because she was a little late. She doesn't normally come here, and finding this place after dark, I mean, finding in the daylight's tough enough sometimes. Yeah, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. But at night, they had went through Reed Springs. Can you imagine? Trying to get here from Branson, going through Reed Springs. And they're, Patty and Willie's going, I know exactly what that's about. And so they finally get here. Josh is breathing a sigh of relief. But what was so awesome was, is the word that just kept coming over and over again is everybody here is packing. No, that was one of the comedy parts. You got to pick this up. I hadn't laughed that hard in a long time. But here's what was said, was the idea that you have to hear for yourself. You got to hear for yourself. And what I loved was after her testimony, she was talking about her grandson that had operated in a really miraculous way. I don't want to give you the whole story, but it wasn't him that did it. It was the Holy Spirit, but he had to be obedient to hear the Holy Spirit. And when he heard the Holy Spirit, he made a great move, and it blessed the colonel's life, who he was the driver for. And the short of the story is he started to get out of the service. And what just amazed me about it is the colonel came and said, "No, you blessed my life. Please don't leave. Stay and be my personal assistant. Stay and be a part of this. Stay and be a part of what's going on." And I started thinking about that. I thought about it all week. That's why I wanted her to share that testimony. Because here's the thing. How many people want you around because of your connection to the things of God? How many people want you around because you're devoted to God? How many people want to be in your presence because they know that you have wisdom? They know that you walk in righteousness, and they know that you're devoted to God. See, it's important. It's important that we operate with a firsthand knowledge, not because I know pastor, not because I know my granddad, he was a preacher, not because my mom and dad we're in church every Sunday because my mom and dad, they make us go. And no, there's got to come a point, come on, where you individually, personally have a relationship with Almighty God because of what Jesus did on the cross, and you have a devotion to him. The Bible says if we're going to live in this evil world, we got to be devoted to God. It's important. Quickly, you've got to realize how fast you can turn and not be devoted. You just go a few days not reading your word, a few days. You just go a few church services you miss, and you watch how easy it is to miss the third one. I've been there. I know. I don't want to condemn people. I want to love people. I want them to see my devotion to God, obviously. But you know, it's really tough. It's tough to show a world. Come on now, listen to what I'm saying here, because I think you'll agree with this. It's tough to show to a world that shuts Christ out, that doesn't have anything to do with him, that are so busy with life outside of him. It's tough for us to come in and show them him. They may know you're a Christian, and that's why you're being avoided. See, we on one hand, we've got to be bold and call things by the truth. Come on, we got to call it by the truth. Sin is sin. And so as a Christian, we're coming in, and that is sin. I'm not doing that. No, I'm not going to be associated with that. No, I don't agree with that. In your workplace, that can be tough. That's not what we're doing. Guys on the job coming in and providing an atmosphere that is one curse word after another, taking your Lord's name in vain, on and on and on. Come on, we all have dealt with that in workplaces. Now, I understand heathens are going to be heathen, but at some point, you got to say, guys, can we like try to clean this up a little bit and stand up and say, so being bold and doing the right thing, boy, it's tough sometimes. It's tough. Being bold is it. But see, on the other hand, we are called to forgive and to love and to encourage and know that heathens are going to be heathens, and you're supposed to be the light to a dying world. You're supposed to be able to show them Christ. Well, on one hand, you're sitting here saying, no, we're not doing that. And on the other hand, I love y'all. I love y'all. Please, just let's all just get along and sing Kumbaya. Come on. Y'all quit doing that. Are you seeing how we've got a real tough road? I mean, which way is it? Is it condemn sin and love sinners? I got that. But how do you really bring that across? Let me tell you how you'll bring it across. By accessing the one who made it real. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't okay the sin. He said, I'm going to take care of it for you. So you've got to show them your devotion to the one who can take care of it and quit trying to figure it all out on your own and show them him. Show them him. Now, I don't know how. That's where the Holy Spirit will be the revealer of truth. And when you don't know what to say, he'll say it for you. See, there's just so many scriptures we can pull out and pull out. But if you're not devoted to God, you'll get in those situations and you'll be a Pharisee. We can't be that. We've got to be operating in wisdom, in righteousness, and in devotion to God. Come on, are y'all hearing this morning? Hebrews 10. Turn over a couple books here to the right from Titus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let's read this together. 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Boy, if you never, you got to know God can be trusted to keep his promise. Verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to new acts or to acts of love and good works. And verse 25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, one of the reasons why I think church is so important is because when you're out there trying to be bold and show love and be bold and show love, love your enemy, but recognize they are your enemy. Wait a minute here. They're not my, that you didn't make them your enemy. They made themselves the enemy. You have the answer for them not to be your enemy anymore, and the only way you're going to give them that answer is through love. That's why the Bible says love your enemy. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do it. And the enemy needs the answer, and the answer is Jesus, and the only way you can give that to someone who puts themselves in opposition to you or your way of life is to love them. Oh, this is so tough. It's so tough. Hebrews 10 is very, very important. I think church is very important. Why? Because I like coming here because this is the place that refuels you. Your enemy's not going to say, attaboy, that was a good one. Attaboy, boy, I'm proud. You did a good job. Boy, you look nice today. Got a pretty smile on your face. Boy, I'm glad to see your health. You're walking in. You're looking good. You didn't look so good before. You look good now. There's a way that you just come up and you encourage people. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I just want to. No, I think it's important that we understand. Let's not neglect meeting together. Some people do, but encourage one another. Encourage one another. When do you do that? When you're meeting. When you're together. When you're together, there's an encouragement. And know this. Think of ways to motivate one another into acts of love. That's all I'm doing today. I'm just trying to think of some way where I can motivate you to not get caught up on all the hustle and bustle of Christmas. Not that that can't be fun, but it's not fun if you leave Christ out of it. And we've got some time as we're waiting for all of this to take place. And as we are waiting, verse 25, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, he is coming again, church. Let me say that again. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Are you anticipating that day? As his return draws near, what are you doing? While we wait, that's what we've been talking about. We operate with wisdom, with righteousness, with devotion to God. But I understand the wait is tough. Come on, kids. The wait is tough. That little paper chain that you taking off one day at a time, it takes forever. Still, half of the boxes on our counter are still not open. And I'm like, is it ever going to get here? I remember living for a couple years of my childhood in West Plains, Missouri. Mom, you're here today. You're here a lot now lately. And you just got to deal with all these stories, so. But she will attest to it. When we moved to West Plains, one of the hardest things that I was moving away from was my grandpa and my grandma. It was hard because we were always with them. We hung out with them. He was and is a spiritual hero to me growing up. And I loved to be around him. And it was just always, there was always joy at Grandma and Grandpa's. For one, you could eat anything you wanted. And if it wasn't there, we'd just go to the store and get it. And it was great. And Grandpa was just, I mean, he was like a big kid. Mom would always say, that's not the person that I grew up with. But I'm like, I don't care who you grew up with. This is Grandpa, and he's mine. And we're hanging out, and we're doing things together. And we go down to his shop, and he'd show us how to make something or fix something. And we could be next to Grandpa, and it was just all right. Well, then we moved to West Plains, and there's no Grandpa and Grandma. It's like, oh. Well, it's only 2 hours away. Well, when you're 14 years old, you can't get there unless you skip school. But that's a whole other story. Now, I'm not telling here. Anyway. Here's what happened. Grandpa and Grandma weren't there. And I remember at Christmas, or even outside of Christmas, certain times, Grandpa and Grandma would come. But I remember a particular one Christmas, they were coming, and we were trying to get the house all decorated and in perfect order. And as Mom would probably tell you, I didn't care much at helping in that area. I was made to. But I remember this day and time, the wait before. There was an excitement, and we were running around, and we were fixing, and we were doing. And the whole time we were doing it, I wonder if Grandma will like this. I wonder if Grandpa, I wonder what he'll say about this. And I wonder what, and I just, oh, I can't, Mom, I can't wait for them to get here. It's going to be so fun. And I remember the doorbell ringing, and we're all sitting there watching them pull in. Kids, wait, wait. And they're driving in, and they're walking up on that porch, and they come up to the door, and Grandpa and Grandma and Grandma's just got this little... She tilt her head and smile, walking up to that front door, and here's Grandpa, his big old grin, and he'd walk up to that door and be like, they've arrived. I didn't know if I knew that word. They're here. It was an awesome thing. The anticipation. But what I remember is the anticipation before it happened. I don't remember much except for the hugs and the excitement that they were there. But I remember all before that excitement. That thrill, talking to Mom, my brothers and I talking about getting to play games and winning or losing and whatever. And it was, we were going to win if Grandma was on our team, because, or if Grandma was playing with us, we would win. Grandpa gets so mad because, I don't know, he said she would let us. I don't ever believe that. But we would win, and we would get to play these games together. And oh, it was just so fun. And the anticipation, the wait before Christmas. The wait before Grandpa and Grandma, the wait before Christmas. Come on, is the wait exciting? It can be, unless you leave Christ out of it. The reason why we were so thrilled about Grandpa and Grandma coming is because they walked in the excitement of their Lord and Savior. We wanted to be around them because we knew who they served. Grandpa reading the Christmas story. Just so much. Just getting to hear Grandpa pray before dinner. All of that was so exciting when I was a kid. But it was more than Grandpa. It was the Jesus that he served that I came to know personally. And now there's an excitement for him. And what I wanted to share with you today and get you excited about is the wait is intense. But why is it intense? Because you know what is coming is going to be awesome. Are you that excited about your Lord and Savior? Or is it just the present you're opening? Or is it just Grandpa and Grandma coming over? Or is there an excitement about our Savior? Come on, church, we can't leave Christ out of this. We can't leave Christ out of this and truly celebrate Christmas. In the New Testament, turn to Luke, and I've just got a few things here I want to finish up with. But I think it's real important that we understand in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, there was others that got an excitement about Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he revealed to him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, Now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people. Simeon was just. He was devout. His very name means hearing. It was his attitude day in and day out. He was waiting for a prophet that had been foretold. Simeon was waiting for a prophet, the consolation of Israel. And I want you to know what happened here in verse 25. It's very important that we see this. Verse 25, he was righteous, devout, and was eagerly waiting. That Greek word, eagerly waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting, and the Holy Spirit revealed to him, the prophet is here. The Greek word, waiting to welcome, prosdekomai. Prosdekomai. Now, I'm not asking you to learn a new language, but you might want to get that word. Waiting in order to welcome. And I loved what Simeon said. He goes, hey, listen, he's here. God, I can die now. I've been waiting and he's here. Yeah, man, all his whole life was centered around waiting for the prophet to show up. And when he did, and God revealed to Simeon who he was, wow, he was just waiting in order to welcome his whole life. Waiting in order to welcome. Luke chapter 2, verse 36, Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they'd been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly. Prosdekomai. She talked about the child to everyone who was waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Here is Anna. Here is Anna, the prophet, waiting for the priest. So you have Simeon waiting for the prophet. You have Anna waiting for the priest. And he shows up in one the same. Turn over a few chapters to Luke 23. Luke 23. Verse 50, Joseph of Arimathea was a good man. He was just. His name means adding. He added to. It was his activity to take what no one else would do and then add what was needed. Luke 23, verse 50. Now there was a good man, a righteous man named Joseph. He is a member of the Jewish High Council, but he had not agreed with the decision and actions of the other religious leaders. He was from the town of Arimathea in Judea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Then he took the body down from the cross, wrapped it in a long sheet of linen cloth, laid it in a new tomb that had been carved out of rock. This was done late on Friday afternoon, the day of preparation, as the Sabbath was about to begin. Verse 51, he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Joseph of Arimathea was waiting for the king. Simeon was waiting for the prophet. Anna was waiting for the priest. And Simeon was waiting for the king. What I want you to understand is very important. All of these that were waiting for used the word in Greek called prosdekomai. And you've got to understand how important this is. This is the same exact word that was used in Titus that we just read. All of these words are the same. Each of these were found looking for Jesus because they took the time to seek him. In closing, I want to read a story. And then after that, just a couple words to close it up. But I want you to listen closely to a story that may remind you of one that you've heard several times. But this one's called, "'Twas the Night Before Jesus Came." 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laid on the shelf without care. in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker with baby on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there arose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life that he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name when he said, "It's not here." My head hung in shame. The peoples whose names had been written with love, he gathered to take up to the heaven above. With those who were ready, he rose without sound while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight, "If only my heart had been ready tonight." In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Now, let me just, as a disclaimer, say that's not exactly the way it's going to go. But do you get the point? Today, I wanted to make sure that our wait before Christmas was for the right reason. And I hope I've communicated that today. Waiting in order to welcome. Prosdakomai. Very important. Luke uses this word one other time to refer to the people who are tuned in to God in reference to us, Christians. Luke 12, verse 34. Let me just read this. "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master," prosdakomai, "to return from the wedding feast. Be dressed and ready for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks." Church, are you ready to meet him? Are you waiting in order to welcome? I don't know. You'll have to ask yourself that question. I'm not here. I'm just here to provide the information and to say, hey, wait. Are you living in wisdom right now? Are you walking in righteousness? Are you devoted to God? See, questions you can ask. That, if you'll answer correctly, will tell me that you are waiting eagerly. You are waiting in order to welcome. Titus 2:13, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. My prayer is that people are seeing him in your lives every day. Come on, are we ready? Are we ready? Church, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? This same question could be asked all year long. Are you ready to reveal Christ? Are you excited about him revealing himself to us? I am. And that'll make your Christmas shopping go, woo-hoo-hoo. Make grandpa and grandma coming over going, yeah. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things you can get excited about when you put Christ in the right place. Y'all stand with me this morning.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.